I want to encourage you today that you are just going to talk to your dad. I had a thought this past week, never really dawned on me. If I said, who was your sitcom dad growing up, or your TV dad, how many know what I'm talking about? Right? My boys, they're not going to have a sitcom dad. They're not going to have a TV dad. And one reason, it's kind of a big reason, we don't have cable. And I know right now you're thinking, oh, he's a pastor, he's religious, he's holy, he can't have cable. No, I'm cheap. It's 70 bucks a month for cable for my kids to come home and turn on YouTube. I cancel cable. They watch YouTube. I can tell you about every gamer out there from Ninja on that plays Fortnite. I can tell you about Dude Perfect. I can tell you I can tell you how to make homemade slime. I know how to make this. I've seen it so many times. So the reason we don't have cable is just they don't watch it, and what they don't have sitcom dads. And part of me is disappointed, but then the other part of me realizes most sitcom dads actually are a reflection of real life dads. We view them to be one thing, but in reality, they're probably something different. And all of us have dads like that. All of us have parents like that. And by the way, I understand talking about a father today, this could be very heavy for some people. I had an individual come up to me at the end of last service, and his dad never wanted to have anything to do with him. A few years ago, he reached out just to try to connect with his dad, and his dad sent word back that he's not interested in even talking to his son. So now I'm up here, and I'm going to tell you that God's a good father, and it could be hard to hear today. Because the perception of who a good dad is, in reality, could be very different than the real-life person. So, for instance, if I ask you this, how many grew up with Full House and Bob Saget? Okay, so this was your TV dad. But do you know that nowadays he is known as one of, if not the crudest comedian that's on the circuit? Like, if you see Bob Saget coming into town, you're like, hey, we're going to go find out about the twins. Like, you know, the Full House twins. Like, I promise you, that's not the jokes you're going to hear. And I would encourage you, Google it and hear some of his jokes. You don't want to Google it. Just trust me on this one. Incredibly good. The dad we saw on TV wasn't the dad who is in real life. How many grew up with this guy, Bill Cosby? Mr. Huskable, right? He's this great TV dad. He was always there for the family. He provided. He'd do bonehead things, but then he would make it up. At the end of the 30 minutes, he'd be back. But in 2018, he was convicted on three different counts of, it boils down to rape. How he did it and what he did doesn't really matter, but it's the dad in real life is not the dad that we saw growing up. How many remember this guy, Stephen Collins? Who watched Seventh Heaven? I mean, it was the go-to Christian show, right? Three different counts, he's a pedophile. And they have had to scrub him from every Christian thing out there because he was supposed to be the ideal dad that we all could look up to and glean from and grow from. But the reality is, who the person really is and what they actually did were miles apart. And of course, then you have quite possibly the worst father in the history of all of them. Honestly, whose dad had their hand cut off? Not right? I mean... It's actually interesting. I was at the police station this week. Don't worry, I was in the front seat, not the back. And I made a comment to an individual who's a big Star Wars fan. I said, hey, I'm going to be talking on Darth Vader for a minute, try to make a little joke. And he goes, oh, what a great dad. What are you talking about? He goes, think about it. He wanted to reunite with his son in order to disciple his son, in order to give him all the power that the dad had and to rule the universe as father and son. And I was looking at him and go, man, have you twisted that story? Like, I couldn't preach on that one if you told me to. Like, that was a major distortion of what that is. But here's the thing. The reality is, I'm going to talk to you about your heavenly father today, but it may hit close to home on your earthly father. Because here's what I'd like you to see. Jesus taught us how to pray, our Father in heaven. I'm on page 40. One of the words in the Bible for Father is Abba, which simply means daddy or papa. And here's the most mind-blowing thing. Throughout the entire Old Testament, that's, if you're new to church, there's like two halves to our book. And there's an old one and there's a new one. There's an old covenant and a new covenant in the Old Testament. They never called God Father. They called him Creator. They called him deliverer. They called him provider. They actually, great and dreadful was one of the prayers. Imagine saying that prayer to God. Hello, you great and dreadful thing. Like, I'm not really sure how you sell that one, but Jesus then, when he was asked to teach how to pray, 150 times plus, he used the name Father. And he completely flipped upside down what the disciples thought they were supposed to pray, because they thought, you ready for this? They thought they needed to pray to the power, not the person. The personality, not the individual. And Jesus is going, no, you need to just talk to your father. You need to talk to your dad. Abba is a term of endearment, love, intimacy, and security. Those are four things that some of you, even as I say the word dad, you have trouble believing it. Endearment, love, intimacy, and security. Jesus was telling us that when we pray to God, it's like talking to your dad, your father. So here's what happens with humanity. Our earthly father that we grew up with, who he was or who he wasn't, if he's abusive or if he was loving, if he was present or if he was absent, whatever that might be, we take our earthly father's personality and we project it onto our heavenly father. You just do. So if I say that you have a God in heaven that wants to be present with you, but you've never had a present dad, you're going to find that hard to believe. So I'm going to ask you today to break the mindset that your heavenly father will treat you like your earthly father did. See, here's the thing. I'll be honest, and no, dad's not here right now, and his birthday's not coming up, but I had a great earthly father. He was always around. Actually, here's one big problem both of my parents have. They encouraged us that we could do anything, and we believed them. Like, they were too encouraging. Like, I'm going to go to the moon. You can, and you can plant a second flag. Like, they were just, like, anything that we wanted to do, we had the confidence to do it. There was never a time that my dad put a cigarette out on me. There was never a time that my dad balled up his fist and just beat me. But there was a dad that was present. There was a dad that was at home. There was a dad that took us on purpose every year, took a vacation with us. And he was told years before by a pastor, he goes, if you don't make time with the family, summers are going to come and go and you won't have any memories. And he goes, every year we're going to leave, we're going to go to Florida and we're going to make memories together. But some of you right now, as I say that, that is so foreign to you. And when I bring up dad, you think of pain. You think of words that have stung you to your soul. You think of rejection that you just can't seem to get past. So I'm here to tell you today, your heavenly father is not that. Your heavenly father wants you to be a son and a daughter. Your heavenly father wants to be intimate with you, wants to be close with you. And ready for this, he wants you to look at him sometimes and just go, hi, dad. I miss you, dad. I want to be with you, dad. So I want you to go on a journey with me. And if you're bogged down by pains of the past, I want to tell you this, there's freedoms in your future. And when you truly know and understand who your heavenly father is, it will radically change your prayer life, and it will enable you to pray with more confidence than ever before. You know why? Because my heavenly father is a trillionaire. I have confidence. I can ask him for something. My heavenly father is the greatest physician in the history of the world. I can ask him for a healing. My heavenly father loves beyond comparison. He'll always be there for me. And when we start understanding this is who we're talking to, you pray with confidence. So here's point number one. If you're in the book right now, again, we're on page 40. If you're watching us online, by the way, if you're watching us online, we're thrilled that you're tuning into Navigation Church, specifically because we heard from you this week. If you are in Kansas City, Alabama, or Texas, we're glad that you got your book shipped into you and you're following along with us. That's a special shout out. We have people in multiple states that have thoroughly enjoyed doing this with us. So we appreciate you tuning in every week at Navigation Church. Here's point number one for you. Ready for this? God is a caring father. I know that sounds simple, sounds simplistic. If you don't have your book today, don't worry, your answers are in the back. You can fill it in later. God is a caring father. Can a mother, Isaiah 49:15, can another forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she bore? Can everyone just say no? Like, you know, obviously that answer's no. But though she may forget, I will never forget you. God is a caring father. By the way, I have just a lot of stories this week because in our NAV group and in our family, we've been doing this 40 days of prayer and the kids have been with us and it's been a wonderful journey. And this week I told one of the boys the first time I heard from God. And here's what it was. How many remember puppets? Or did you grow up in a church with a puppet ministry, right? This is like a childhood dream of mine to go back to puppets. Or not move your mouth. I'm not good at that. But so with my parents, they had a ministry. Actually, Hap and Sandy Schobert were the pastors over it. They even have a church up the road now. Wonderful family. Sandy Schobert, she was in charge of the King's Kids Ministry. That's about the churchiest name I'm going to give you today, the King's Kids Ministry. And I wanted to be a King's Kid so bad. I wanted to be in the puppet ministry because I had friends that were in it. My older brother was in it. There was one time he was a mad scientist and he ripped his shirt off right in the middle of the play. And I was like, I want to rip my shirt off. And then I realized I'm six and I can't. And I didn't know you could pre-cut it. Thank you, Hulk Hogan. Like, I wanted to be in this puppet ministry so bad. And so I went to Miss Sandy, Pastor Sandy, and I said, I want to be in the puppet ministry. The problem was I was too young to be in the puppet ministry. But she was so loving, she didn't just want to say no. So she said this, why don't you go pray about it and tell me what you hear God says. And I walked away going, well, I can tell you what God's going to say. I will feed him this answer. This is going to be a yes. So I was at mom and dad's house. Obviously, at that time, I wasn't living on my own. 440 Bunker Hill, two-story blue house with a pool that I successfully destroyed three different times. That story's to come. So like I have vivid memory because you walk up straight upstairs. You go into the master bedroom. On the right, their bed was right there. To the left was the closet bathroom. And right outside the closet was this vanity, this makeup place that mom would sit and, you know, be vain, you know, put her makeup on. So didn't sound right. So I remember sitting there looking in the mirror and I go, God, I want to be in the King's Kids. Can I? May I? Would you please allow me? Like, I don't know what the prayer was, but I'm sure it's about that simple. And I know that I know to the bottom of my heart, I heard the answer no. And I was so sad because I thought I would make a great puppeteer. Personally speaking. Okay, so like I was ready to do this. And I actually called Miss Sandy. I was crying on the phone. I said, hey, I prayed and God said no. And I don't know what she said, but I'm confident she was loving and caring and all those type of things. And as I sat there, I have such a vivid memory. I was sad, but I wasn't hurt. Does that make sense? Like I was disappointed, but I wasn't wounded. I knew that I had a caring God that just didn't give me what I wanted. And it's interesting because you would think if God says no to us, except to quote Garth Brooks, I think it's in Proverbs, may not be, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. And so in this place in my life, I had the answer, but it wasn't what I wanted. But somehow that no, I wish I could just, I know that it was a no, but I know I was loved at the same time. Why? We have a caring Father. And so there's times you're not going to get what you want all the time. You still have a caring Father. I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, past nor present, any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from what? The love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a really famous story in the New Testament. The disciples, they were going across the sea, and Jesus, he was exhausted, goes down below and goes to sleep. Well, this massive storm shows up. And this storm is throwing this boat all over the place. They're rowing, they're sailing, doing everything they can to get across the seas. They are so freaking out, they come down to wake Jesus up, and they said, hey, do you not care that we're about to die? First of all, if you wake up the Savior of the world, I wouldn't start with an accusation. You may want to go ahead and write that down. When I pray, don't accuse Jesus of being a mean guy. Like, that's a really good point that you know. But then Jesus comes up and he settles a storm, and here's the thing. How often have you been in your life where you feel like the seas of the world are tossing and turning you every which way, and you're honest, be honest with yourself, and you say this, does God even care about me? Does he care about the situation? Does he know where I'm at right now? Does he know where this boat is? Does he know what this sea's doing to me? And here's what you have to know, here's what you have to remember. Jesus is in the boat with you. So does he care? Absolutely, he's a caring, loving Father. But it doesn't mean life is perfect. It doesn't mean that you won't have storms. It doesn't mean that you don't go through things. But I can tell you this, that Jesus is right there with you. Jesus cares. So here's what we need to do. We need to cast all, 1 Peter 5, 7. We need to cast all. Everyone say the word all. We need to cast all our cares upon him. And here's the interesting thing. If it's big enough, you're going to want to write this one down. This is fantastic. There's some of you that are going to need to repeat this. So repeat this to yourself this week. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. I appreciate that. Amen. We're going to give it a run because I think eight of you should have said it. So here we go. Ready? If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. So, oh man, that went to 80 real quick. Way to go. I love it. Love it. But here's what we do, and you know this to be true. We think there's certain things in our life that we can manage, but when it gets too big for us, that's when we try to give it to God. And what God's saying right here in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. So you're not meant to do this by yourself. You're meant to do this with a caring God. You're also going to do life with a consistent God. That's point number two. God is a consistent God. Top of page 41. Therefore, if nothing is deceitful of God, no two-faced, nothing fickle. James 1:17. He's a loving, caring, compassionate, dependent God. And for those of you that have had a dad that was absent, those of you that had a dad that said, hey, I'll be right back and never came right back, those of you that, hey, I'll be at the baseball game, I'll be at the dance recital, I'll be there, and they never showed up, and then you all of a sudden hear that God is a consistent God, that may be hard for you to embrace. But it's a fact. That God is a consistent God. I said to you, I had some stories for you today. I had a very interesting thing happen last week. How many were here last week? You saw the water baptisms. This coming Easter, we're gonna do it again. Why? Because man, it may be my most favorite part about being a pastor is water baptism. Until I do communion, then that becomes my favorite. And until I do salvation calls and people say yes to Jesus, and that's my favorite. And then, my boys, the NAV kids, were in here with us last week. And again, we on purpose want to expose the kids to all aspects of the ministry so they see how to take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus. And we believe one of those ways here at Navigation Church is through water baptism. And for those who don't know what that means, it's basically inside you said yes to Jesus, and outside now you're just telling the world. This is an act. This ring doesn't make me married, but it's an external act that I do in order to tell the world that I'm married, right? And so water baptisms. So I had, it was my oldest boy. I'll tell you who it was. My oldest boy, Judah, came home and he said, Dad, I really want to talk to you, and I'm ready to get baptized. And this is me. You don't have to live by this philosophy that this is how I feel. I still think he's a little too young, because I haven't heard that salvation yet. I still think he knows God because of Dad's God, not his personal one. He doesn't have that weight of sin that cast over to Jesus. So I didn't say yes and I didn't say no, but I said this. I go, hey, why don't you go pray about it? Why? Because that worked on me years ago. So I thought, I go sit in a vanity and, you know, pray and let Jesus talk. So Jesus did talk to me. He came back. It was a couple days later. Came back and said, hey, every night when I pray, I keep hearing the same thing. And so he got to tell me about how Jesus had been talking to me. And by the way, it's something that we haven't been saying. It's just he knows that he knows. And so in it, he was talking, I think he hears what God's calling him to the future, but it wasn't necessarily that now thing of baptism. And so I said, buddy, can I do this? Can you let Daddy and Mommy talk about it and pray about it, and I'll come back and give you an answer? And he goes, absolutely. And I said, do you trust me? And here's what I want everyone to hear, because this needs to weigh on me for the rest of my life. He goes, of course I trust you, Dad. He goes, you're wise. And here's why I want that to weigh on me. Because how he views me is how he's going to view God. And I want to view God as wise. I want my kids to view me at that. I want that, can I say this? I want that peer pressure from my kids, so that when I'm talking to him, I weigh my words before I just spout it out. When we talk about a future and decisions as we make it, it weighs on me that I'm wise, and that the way he views his God is going to be the way he views me, or vice versa. And then guess what else needs to happen? I need to be consistently. So right now, as a family, we're doing the 40 days of, I don't know if I promoted this enough, 40 days of prayer as a family. Every night, roughly 8 o'clock, depending on soccer practices, we sit around the kitchen table and we do it. And the boys now are saying it's their favorite part of the day. Amen. To sit around and talk about a Bible. talk about God. The very first day, oh, I can't believe this. Very first day we sat down. So it's, I'll go ahead and tell you the scripture. We sit down, and we, by the way, mine's filled out. Anyone wants to check my book? I'm up to date. John 15, verse 5 through 7. I start reading, I am the vine, you are the branch. And my oldest boy goes, oh my gosh. I go, what? He goes, Dad, this is my life verse. The very first verse that we had to start off this 40 days of prayer, my oldest boy Judah, he's like, this is my verse. I learned, he rattled off the whole thing. And then we sat there, and that day, I kid you not, everybody except Mariah, because she just, Mariah, you want to talk about Jesus? And she goes, poop. And everyone laughs, and we go, only a daughter with five older brothers would make that joke. Oddly enough, I was kind of proud. Every one of us sitting around the table were crying. It was just such a powerful first day that we kicked off. But you know what happened? The next day, I had to show back up. I had to be consistent. And the one thing that I can say for Jesus Christ in my life through the journeys that I've had, almost 20 years full-time in the ministry, Jesus is consistent to show up. So we have to understand that, and we have to believe that. I, the Lord, do not change. Malachi 3, verse 6. See, we so often think that our relationship with God is based on our performance, but the reality is it's based on his character. I have a prophetic word for everybody in here. Ready for this? You're going to mess up sometime this week. Selah. That is good for everybody. Every one of you can take that word, and it's true, and it's going to happen. And then what we think is that God is disappointed with us, so we stop talking to him more because we broke the relationship, and somehow our performance determines on the relationship with God. And what he's saying is, my character is your father, and as a father, I want to be close to my children. So think about this. God will never go back on his promises. Romans 11, 29, Psalms 59, 10. My God is changeless of his love for me. The greatest cause of rebellion and resistance from children comes from broken promises. Inconsistent fathers will produce insecure children. As a son and a daughter today, I want you to hear this. God is consistent, and he will be there for you. And you know what happens? Man, I'm secure. You know, there's never been a time that I've dropped kids off at a soccer practice or at a friend's house and then came back and they go, oh, I was so worried. I didn't know if you'd come back to pick me up. No, we're here. We're every time. Actually, here's one I'm proud of. I know this doesn't sound. We've never left a kid at church. And you might not think that's a big deal. I got left at church all the time as a kid. Mom and dad, they're shaking hands, two different cars. I'm sure she took him. He's like, I don't care. So no. I can't tell you how many times I'm like, hey, anybody headed that way? Because I need a ride, right? So, but we're consistent. We show up. So you have a caring father. You have a consistent father. Page 41, you have a close father. He's nearby. He's present. You ready for this? I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to have you do an exercise with me. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. That's page 41. So here's our exercise. If you have a pen out, I need you to now go with me and start underlining the word not or nor in this one scripture. Ready? I will not, give that an underline, in any way fail you, nor, underline, give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, underline, will not, by the way, it does say it three times if you don't have your book on you, in any degree leave you helpless, nor, underline, forsake you, nor let you down, or relax my hold on you. I think that's my favorite part of that sentence. You know, there's one thing about letting you down. It's another thing of just not holding on as tight. But I view God as seeing you as this absolutely valuable thing. And he goes, I'm not even going to let up my grip on you. So if you successfully did that in one sentence, Jesus said nine different ways, nope, 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 nor, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine. Man, that shouldn't encourage you. That should absolutely. So here's the thing. Three different things about the closeness of who God is. Ready for this? God is never too busy for me. I got to be honest, as a dad, how often do I say, hey, I'll be there in a minute. I need to finish this up. I got to get the grass mowed. I got to get the oil changed. I got to run to the store. I have a meeting. I have a phone call I need to do. Like, how often do we let life rule us versus us ruling life, and somehow our schedule is out of control, and the ones that get wounded the most by it are the ones closest to us? Why? Because the ones closest to us, we know we can abuse the most because they love us the most. Your kids don't understand those broken promises. Here's what our boys know. Here's what my girl knows. Here's what I'm trying to do. Never too busy. You know one thing that kids do that drive me nuts? I'm only going to tell you one. It's so annoying. We will be on the couch watching a movie, Tangled. How many have seen Tangled with Rapunzel. I keep going with Rumpelstiltskin. I don't know why. Isn't that that's a character, right? But, he's the guy with the contract. That doesn't matter. I don't know. I can focus up here. Here we go. Ready? Okay, everyone back now. So we just recently got Tangled, and the bad mommy cut her hair. Just a widow. It traumatized my baby girl. Like, could not believe she got her hair cut. And so we will, like, be on couches with cartoons on, or YouTube. We covered that already. And our kids will get off the couch they're sitting on just to come over and lay on us. And then if one does, first of all, if any of the boys do it, Mariah will come, try to pull them off. She's so territorial. And then there's times where we'll have 2, 3, sometimes 4 kids all on us on one couch. I'm like, there's plenty of room to sit. But for some reason, you know what? They want to be close. And it's the worst problem to have, and I love it. Unless you're in a blanket, then you get claustrophobic and they have your arms down. I'm just kidding. That's my wife, and we do that on purpose just to torture her. But if we're on the phones, let's be honest, playing a game and they talk, which one's more important? Because for me, I want to do everything I can to show them I'm never too busy for them. Because guess what? God is available all the time for you for anything. Actually, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will always receive me. Psalms 27, verse 10. Man, he's never too busy for you. You ready for this? God loves to meet your needs. He actually wants you. You remember the comedian at the beginning of the video? He goes, man, she knew all his nicknames. Well, here's one of his nicknames. Ready for this? Jehovah Jireh means God the provider. There is nothing that you need in this world that God doesn't have access to. Now, are you ready for it? How is he getting it to you? Those are all different conversations for another day, but I promise you this. He wants to meet your needs. The problem is when we only go to him as a last resort versus stepping up at the beginning to say, God, you're my only option. It's a different way to look at it, but God wants to absolutely meet your need. And then ready for this? God is sympathetic to my hurts. And I know this is a tough one for some of us to hear. Why? Because I've said the phrases. And I know you've heard them too. You get hurt, you're wounded, you're crying, and it's easier to say, hey, tough enough, right? Be a man about this. Rub some dirt on it. Stop crying. I'll give you something to cry about. Like so I don't know how those run together, but they do. And here's what we have to hear. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who have crushed spirits. There will never be a time where he goes, hey, buttercup, time to suck it up. There will never be that moment when you're having that conversation with God. It will be this, I am here for you. Why? Because I am close to you. Why? Because I'm compassionate towards you. I am caring for you. So here's the final thing we want to say is, final point is this, God is a competent father. I know that, I got to be honest, for those who don't know, Rick Warren wrote this book. And so in one way, I'm just preaching another guy's notes today. So that's what I was made fun of. So when I got to competent father, I'm like, seriously? But if you think about it, some of you have dads that are boneheads. Like, you don't know how they survived this long and are still going. The decisions that they make constantly seem to be wrong. And I would say this, God is a competent father. So here's a question. Nothing is impossible for God. Luke 1:37. So in your life right now, this is a question that I need to ask. NAV groups, you may want to bring this up if it fits in your conversation this week coming up. What is it in your life that you think is too impossible for God to solve? And immediately, here's what you religious people are doing. I'll put us all in that category. Oh, well, God can do anything. Ha, ha, ha. No, okay. So I'm glad you say that. But in reality, in your life, there's something that you're dealing with that you haven't given to him. And you may think, I can take care of this myself. I need to overcome this myself. I can get past this on my own. But if you truly believe that nothing is impossible for God, you would have given him that thing already. So where is it in your life right now that you, consciously or unconsciously, that you believe it is impossible for God to do this thing? You're in a work environment that you hate, that you would do anything for a new job, but you've never stepped out to do it because, after all, this is the job you deserve. You're not any smarter than this job. This is what you've done all your life. This is what Dad did all his life. Like you're stuck in this place. But I would say this, nothing is impossible for God. You know, I just had someone give me a testimony between services that their boss is wanting to reposition them and doing something different. And he goes, and I'm going to do it because it doubles my pay. He went to work one day to do the same thing he's always done. And God has decided, nope, I need you to do more and have more. Nothing is impossible for God. So what is the place in your life that you act like it's impossible for God? Because here's what I would say. God is able to do, ready? You might want to circle this, far more than we could ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, and thoughts or hopes. Ephesians 3:20. God can do no more. So I need you to think of your biggest problem. Get in your head. Your biggest problem, your greatest dream, your largest fear. Ready for this? God can take care of it. God can handle it. It's not too big for your God. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined the things that God has prepared for those that he loves. Why does he love you? Because he's your dad and you're his child. I feel like I've said that like 20 times today, and we're going to keep saying it. He's your Abba. He's your Papa. He's your Father. So here's the question. It's page 41 or 43 of your book. In green right there, it says this, and I believe it's on the bottom of anybody who has the notes on the printed paper. Are you certain that God is your Father? See, I would think most of us would go, yes, he's my Father. But is he a reflection of your earthly father, or is he this, a caring, consistent, close, and competent one? Because today, there's a chance you need to reintroduce yourself to the actual Father that's been pursuing you. You need to start thinking different. Because when you know who, you know, I have, you know, it's crazy. My mom and dad, to this day, they're out of town right now. I have no problem driving to their house right now, and they have this little gimmick on their garage door that you can press in a code, 4763. I'm just kidding, that's not it. So I have no problem right now, without even telling mom and dad, I'd go to their house right now, push that code in, I'd walk in the garage, I'll take my shoes off because my wife has beat that in my head, and then I can go in their house, and you know, I have no problem getting in their fridge. There's two different jars on end tables that always has candy in it. I have no problem going in there and just getting some candy. I'd have no problem going there, taking a nap, taking a shower, watching TV. I have no problem. It's Dad. I'm so comfortable with Dad that I can just do those things. I need to have that same mindset that when I'm having a good day, I can talk to my dad about it. God, this is an awesome day today. The kids are not fighting. No kid threw a remote across the room and put a hole this big in the back of their door because they were mad at Fortnite. Again. Like on those days, though, I can go to him and go, Dad, frustrated. Like, you gave me these things. Can't you teach these things, right? So on good days, on bad days, on days and sitting around with my wife and, you know, should we sell the home? Should we buy a home? Should we invest in this? Should we not go on vacation? Go on vacation. When we have all these decisions to actually bring him in, I run it by natural dad. Why not run it by spiritual dad? Because I'm just so comfortable with him. So the question that all of us just kind of need to wrestle with today is God your Father? Or do you view him still with his power, not his personality? God's your healer. God's your provider. God's your powerful. Great. But is he Dad? Because I don't go to my dad and say, hey, funny guy. Hey, provider. I go to him and do what? I go, hi, Dad. And I embrace him, and we talk, and we play, and we laugh. But then when also there's decision times, I process. So the question is, are you certain that God is your Father today? And so here at Navigation Church, we always end every conversation we have by saying this. God the Father sent his son. Actually, he was so interested in being your father that his son died for you. So you could, can I say this? So you can be in the family. And it, being in the family, it's so simple. The scriptures say this, that you confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. So here at Navigation Church, we love doing an invitation to join the family. And here's what this sounds like. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven onto earth, and for 33 and a half years plus, he walked with us, he talked with us, he taught us, but then at the end of his life, he died on a cross so that you could live and have life abundant. And here's the coolest part about it. Did Jesus die so that you don't go to hell and you get to go to heaven? Sure. Like, yes, that's absolutely true. But here's the most exciting thing about it. Jesus died so you can enjoy heaven here on earth now. Because a lot of us, it feels like hell on earth many times in our life, as we work and as we process and the families that we have. But do you know that God wants to be present with you now? He wants to be your father now. He wants to be your Abba now. So if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior, but today somehow in your heart, in your spirit, you know that you want to, it's as simple as raising your hand saying, yes, that's me. But that could be very intimidating in a crowd this size and you don't know a lot of people around the room. So here's what I'm going to invite. Could I just ask for the next 2 minutes, could everyone just close your eyes? If you're inclined to bow your head, feel free to do that. Just really what I'm asking you to do is separate yourself from the people around you. And in doing that, the reason is because if you're here right now and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ being your Lord and Savior, maybe a friend has been inviting you, possibly you've been watching us online, you're here now. And even as I give this simple explanation that Jesus died so that you could live, everything inside of you is kind of racing going, I want that to be me today. With every eye closed, if you're here today and you would like to say yes to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to just simply raise your hand in the air just so that I can see that you've made that decision. Praise God. There's hands up all over this room right now. Praise God. And I'm going to, if you're watching us online, the same invitation is going to go out to you that's going out to everybody here. If you're here right now and you'd like to say yes to Jesus Christ, I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand. You may be all by yourself and it feels strange. I don't care. It'll be a life-changing moment in your world by saying yes. And then I'm going to ask you to say the same prayer I'm going to ask everybody around the room to say. So if you're here right now, would you please just repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I want you to be a caring, consistent, close, and competent father in my life. So today, I join the family by saying yes to you. Be Lord of my life and forgive me of my sins. And today, I confess you as my Father. God, I thank you for all around the room, those who made the decision, those who said yes to you online. Now, God, I take a moment to pause here. And I pray for any of us that have had childhood drama or ongoing tragedies when it comes to our earthly father. And it's a pain we just haven't been able to get past. I ask today, God, for healing to occur in our souls. I pray for every place that an earthly father wasn't what he was supposed to be. Heavenly Father, step in and take those places for us. Every place that an earthly father abused or abandoned, Father God, would you be consistent and close? And I thank you that lives will be healed today because we've come to understand that you are a good, good Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.